So for sake of time, let me read verse 14 through 20, but we'll be dealing with from verse 4 through verse 20. How about that? When you have it, would you please stand with me and say, I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. Mark chapter number 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things, and things entering in, choketh the word, and becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Amen. May God have blessed those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought today because I feel like a pastor this morning.
Amen.
Amen. A pastoral message this morning. I want to use for a thought, examining your soil. Amen. I hope if you didn't get happy already, then you might not get happy in the message. Amen.
Amen.
So we must get to a point where we are happy, more happy about the word than we are about scratching off a lottery ticket and winning $20. Mm-hmm. We must get happier about the word than we are when somebody gives us a compliment and we tell everybody, oh, you know what they said? They said, this lady said she liked my hair. And we tell everybody we see. You know, this. He said he liked my suit. You know, we spread that, but we got to be happy about the word. And the reason why I'm here this morning, the reason why I'm at the place, not talking about here in the building, but at the place in the word that I'm in, is because I was wondering, I said, God, what is going on with, you know, what's going on with people? What's happening? And only he knows, because we don't know. And he focused me on the word. He said the word is what they neglect. And since the word is not a priority, then the things that they expect in their life have not become part of their life, because the word is not a big part of their life. Have mercy. So when we start to look at God, we look at God from a twisted point of view, because we look at him and try to understand him only from what we know. And Paul said, even the Apostle Paul said that every time, he said, I want to know him. And you would think that he knew God already, because, Paul, you met him on the road to Damascus. He knocked you off of your beast. You know, and Paul, being an apostle who they took handkerchiefs from his body and people were healed, isn't that something? Still said, I needed to know him. So I checked myself and I said, I need to know you. I need to know God. I know him. I'm saved, yes. But I need to know him more. So then I realized that there is always more to God than what we think. There's always more. There's always more. Think about this. There's always more. If God, when he does something, he says that, you know, there's the seed, then there's the springing out, and then there's the blade and the full ear of corn, right? So there's always more to God. Ruth came and she said, you know, she came to Israel and she had nothing to eat. And then she was out gleaming from the field, the leftovers. And then Boaz said, leave us some good stuff in the field. So she got a little bit more. And then she went to Boaz and uncovered his feet. And the Bible says that she now owned the field. There's something to that. There's always more. See, God, Boaz was letting her gleam in his field, but then as she went and got closer to him, she was able to attain the whole field that she was just the beggar in. So when we go to God and we pray, we go begging, Lord, please have mercy. And we are beggars at a point. But then it comes a point that we don't have to beg because now I'm intimate with him. He's mine. I'm his. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And we get to that point to where now I don't have to beg God because I expect this because it's my field. So all I'm saying is that we need to have that desire more for God. We need to have that desire. I'm happy about that because I need that desire. If you lose your desire, you're lost. If you lose your desire for more, if you lose your desire to do better, you know, then you have, I mean, if you feel like I got all I got and I've done all I'm going to do, then there's no reason for you to be here. Stick a fork in you. You're done. But when you realize I need more, I had a cousin, he's passed now. He was 90-something, 95 years old when he passed. And at 90-something years old, he told me, he said, you know what, I'm always learning more. I like when you come by and talk to me, he said, because I'm learning something from you. And I'm thinking I'm learning from him. But he said, I'm learning something. Isn't that something? How we can learn and continue learning no matter how old we get, we still learn. We ought to know something new about God all the time. All right, let me go into the text. But I want you to see that there's more. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And I'm going to tell you why some of us are living in the 30-fold realm. Some of us are living in the 60-fold realm. I know this is, I'm going to explain it. Some of us are living in the 100-fold realm. In other words, we're getting certain production, but some of us are not fully producing 100-fold, or we don't have 100-fold production in our life of the things that God wants for our life. But we're satisfied with 30. Why be satisfied with 30 when you can always have more? Ruth. What if Ruth would have been satisfied just getting what's left in the field? She wouldn't have never got the better part that was. Boy, I say, leave her some good stuff because the stuff she's getting ain't no good. And that's how God does us. He draws us with loving kindness. Okay. I'm already preaching. I hope you know that. But we have to examine our soil. If we don't examine our soil and look at what type of soil we are, then we're messed up because you're fooling yourself and you're not realizing that there's something that God wants to plant in you. The word of God in verse 14 said that the sower soweth the word. And I've come this morning to be part of that, to sow this word. Amen. And so it came to pass when Jesus sowed, a sower came and he sowed, and that's verse 4, and he said, some fell by the wayside. Now, there's wayside soil. Wayside soil is road soil. What do you mean, road soil? You ever, when we were growing up, there was all kind of grass and fields and woods and everything else, but you could always tell where the people walked. Through the trail, that's what we called it. Where did he go? Oh, he went through the trail. The trail was kind of a shortcut for us. And instead of going around the road, we can go through the field or through the woods. But you can always tell. And today, I can go and I can still see some of those trails from when we were kids. Because what happened is wayside soil is like soil that's in the trail. It has so many travelers on it. Y'all hear me now? So many travelers that the soil is packed too tight for the seed to take root and grow. And some of us, because we've had so many things go through our life, so many things happened in our life, we're packed so tight because of the weight of things. Y'all with me? That a seed of the word can't penetrate. All right, look, it will not allow the seed to grow. It's walked on, it's treaded on. Look what Jesus said in verse 4. He said that the wayside saw, and he said, and the fowls came of the air and devoured it up. So what happens to the seed? The seed is sown, but it's because so much weight has been on the soil. And do you know, by the way, that you're made of dust of the earth? So you are a soil that God wants to plant a seed in. And the word is what he sent. The Bible says that he sent his word to heal us. He sent his word, and he said to prosper the thing whereunto he sent it. And so since God sent his word has come to prosper you. Tell somebody, yes, you. His word has come to prosper you, but if his word never penetrates past the flesh, never penetrates past, Lord have mercy, because we're a three-part being. We're soul, we're spirit, soul, and body. But many of us think we're body and we have a soul and a spirit. No, you're a spirit that happens to live in a body, and because of that, God gives you a soul. Okay? And so the soil is packed so tight. What are you? Are you wayside soil? Have you been treaded on so much that the seed will not penetrate the soil and it will not grow? But it says the fowls of the air. When it references the air like that, the reference is always to Satan, because he is the what? Prince of the air. And so what happens is Satan divides it up so it never ever gets a chance to get rooted. It never ever has a chance to penetrate the ground, and it's just eaten up by satanic forces that are all around you. So what are you, wayside soil? Are you packed tight because of the weight of the world? Are you packed so tight that no seed can penetrate? Nothing, nobody say, I can tell you, I can preach to you, I can tell you, somebody else can tell you, and you still don't want to hear it. You still won't receive it. You still just keep it just bouncing. It's just thrown out there on the ground, and it's sitting on top of the ground for some bird to devour, some force to devour and take away from you. So don't let the seed stay on the topsoil. Let the seed, don't be wayside soil. Are you wayside soil? Think about it. Are you so weighted down with stuff that nothing that the word said, I just don't see what is working for me. I just don't see how I can, I don't see how I can make it, because you look like God ain't working on my behalf. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that they was trying to encourage somebody, and they were saying, well, this God thing ain't working for me. You know, that's, people get to that point because of weight. Because they're weighted down with the cares of this world. They're weighted down with people. They're weighted down with situations. Are you wayside, Saul? Check yourself. Examine yourself now. Are you wayside? Okay, let me go on. He says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. Now look at this here. He says stony soil. The stony soil, it didn't have much earth, but it had a thin layer of soil on top of rock, right? And since it had a thin layer of soil on top of rock, this type of soil is very deceptive. Let me tell you why. Because at first, it starts to spring up because the seed was planted in some soil. But because of the stone, the roots can't keep going down. It cannot be rooted, right? And so look at what it says. He says, but when the sun was up, it scorched it because it had no root, and it withered away. It is deceptive because it looked like it's going to grow, but there's no nutrients in the ground because it's all rock. There's no moisture, which is the Holy Ghost. Lord help me. The only way you're going to be able to stay is by the Holy Ghost. There is no moisture. When you talk of moisture, it's the Holy Spirit. He said that from your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen? And so he's referring to the Holy Spirit here. There was no way that this soil or this word or this seed could grow because of the stony soil. It had stones in it. That's why a farmer will get all the rocks out of the soil before he plants. We got to get, we're stony sometimes. We're kind of rocky. You know, we're rocky because I can't really plant sometimes because we got some stuff in us that won't let the root take root, and it won't let it allow it to grow. And so it grows, but it's deceptive. It looks like it's going to be good. You know those people that spring up and they look like they're going to be real good Christians, and they're going to be real great church members. They're going to be good in the choir. They're going to be good at serving. They're going to be good preaching, whatever the case. But then all of a sudden they vanish. That's stony soil. Check yourself. Are you stony? Are you somebody that the seeds start to grow and people appreciate and they say, oh, wow, that's going to be a good one right there. And all of a sudden, when the sun comes out, when things get hot, when trials begin to happen, when situations begin to turn, y'all don't have to say much. Every now and then say amen, but if you don't, I'll say it anyway. When things get hard and hot, when the sun comes out, it just withers. It, because there is no root. What does the root do? The root goes down and finds the water and the nutrients that the seed needs, or that the sprout needs, in order for it to be able to maintain, in order for it to be sustained in the sunny territory or in a sunny condition. So sometimes our condition can be hot, but we have root enough that we are able to stand. But if you're stony ground, you wither. When it gets too hot for you, you start to wither. I hope I ain't boring you, but it's important that you hear it. You got to understand that I can't be stony ground. If there's any rocks in you, if you got any stone in you, you got to get rid of it, because a stony heart can't receive anything. A hard heart. That's why Jesus said, when you hear the word, don't harden your what? Heart. Don't be hard. I know some of us pride ourselves on being hard, tough. I'm macho. But that doesn't mean anything when it comes to God, because you're looking at somebody that made the man. So macho man don't mean nothing to him. We can try to be as macho as we want, as hard and as tough as we want, but when it comes to God, you can't be tough to God. Let me tell you something. Your arms are too short to fight God. You don't have enough wind. He is the wind. Lord have mercy. But notice, it is deceptive, but not only that, it is deficient of the nutrients that is needed, because it only has a small layer of soil on top of a bunch of rock. That's why you don't ever see a whole lot of vegetation growing out of the mountains, because of the rock. All right, okay. And not only that, but when the sun comes up, it scorches it, and it causes it to dry up. And notice something. I want to say this, and then you can put this down in your notes. If you have no root, you have no fruit. You can tell the people who are rooted because they have fruit. They have fruit, and if they have fruit, then it they grow, and people can enjoy the fruit. If people don't enjoy you, they don't enjoy your love, they don't enjoy your joy, they don't enjoy the peace that you bring to a situation, if they don't enjoy you, then something's wrong. Where's your fruit? That means you may not be rooted like you think you are. Amen? Glory be to God. So I'm just talking to you this morning. Don't be stony soil. Examine yourself and see if you're stony. Examine yourself and see who you are, what you are. You know, and the thing about it is to be honest with yourself. You just be honest with yourself. God, the Bible said, he that worshiped me must worship in spirit and in what? Truth. So you need to tell the truth about yourself. Lord, I got some rocks. And every time it looked like the word will take root, look like it's growing, and all of a sudden something happens, the sun comes out and dry me up, and I ain't no good. It's okay, Lord, when it rains, I feel good, because the rain is the blessing, right? But when the sun comes out, what happens to the blessing? It begins to dissipate. You know how it is. When we get blessed, we say, oh, Lord, the Lord is blessing me. But then all of a sudden, when the sun comes out and you got to go to work, real life starts to happen. And then you start forgetting about the blessing, and the joy of the blessing that was in your mind now is dissipated. What happens to you? You decide that I don't need God like I thought I did. I think I can make it on my own. Well, maybe you don't really say that, but you say that in your flesh, because your flesh begin to dictate who you are, where you go, what you do. Because your spirit always going to tell you, you know, you need to get up and go to church. Your spirit going to tell you, you need to get up and pray. Your spirit is going to tell you, you need to read the word. But then you got to battle with that flesh. And because you got rocks in there, the seed is not going to grow. The one thing about a seed is that if you take a seed and you put it on a shelf, put it in a bag, put it in a box, put it in anything and put it on the shelf, guess what? It won't grow. It's just going to be a seed. But as soon as that seed, you ever spill a watermelon seed out? And then came back the next week or two, and then you start seeing these sprouts come up? Why? It's because as soon as the seed touches the soil, it begins to pull nutrients from it. I said something right there. As soon as the word gets into your life, the word begins to pull something from you that causes a beautiful growth that will produce a fruit. Amen? And it's important for us to have some good soil. And sometimes good soil means, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, it means that sometimes we got to have some junk dumped on us. Right. Some manure will make things grow, preach. I'm going to stop on that because I want to go further later. But we got to understand it takes that. And you know the what gives the onion the smell that it has? The onion has the smell that it has because of the sulfur in the soil. And since it draws from the soil, whatever it is in the soil is in the onion. Lord have mercy. All right, I'm going to leave this. Let me go a little further. He says, not only that, but he says the thorny soil. He says some fell among what? Thorns. Verse 7. And the thorns grew up and what? Choked it and yielded no fruit. It grew, but because of the thorns, it choked it. He says it choked it. The thorny soil means that it fell among some things that were already wild and growing. We got some wild stuff growing on the inside of us. We got some thorns that are there. We're talking about a thorn in the flesh. It's because we grew it. Watch what you let and who you let plant into your soil. The Bible says that the good soil went out and he sowed, and then there was thieves and robbers. They came and they sowed some thorns and they sowed some tares and stuff in the midst of the good field. And the man woke up and said, he didn't plant that. Where in the world is this other stuff growing? You thinking, well, I didn't plant that. Well, somebody planted it. You entertained it. Oh, Lord. He said the thorny soil. It grows, and look, it grows with the weeds. But there's a competition in the growth. Whenever you have the weeds and the thorns and the tares growing in your life, the word has to compete with that. But then we don't get enough word, and we don't get enough water on the word. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You ever looked and saw that even if it didn't rain, you still had some weeds and some thorns and all of that stuff still growing? Your grass might be dying, but you got berry bushes growing in your... Because it doesn't take water. It doesn't take much water for those things to grow. All it takes is the planting. So you got to watch what's being planted in you, because it doesn't take much for it to grow. Lord have mercy. But the good stuff, if you want something good to grow, if you want your garden to grow, you got to take care of the garden. But weeds grow anyway. Amen. And notice something else, weeds grow anywhere. Lord. So he says that there are thorns, and notice he said that it choked it up. The word choke means like to suffocate. It suffocated, or it choked it up. It kept it from being able to grow to the point where it could produce. Everything has to grow to a point to where it can produce. We don't automatically produce. We have to grow to the point to where we can produce. And if we stunt our growth, if we don't get the nutrients that we need, we retard our growth. We stunt it, and we don't become what we could be. Lord, help me. Lord, help me in here. We must understand that I can't be thorny soil. I can't afford to have these thorns in my soil, because if the word is sown, even though it starts to grow, it can't produce. You know people that I know the word, but they ain't got no and nothing producing in their life? You try to tell them, yeah, I know that already. You ain't tell me that. Well, why I got to keep preaching if you know it? We ought to get to a point that we don't have to keep preaching the same stuff. We ought to grow from some things. I shouldn't have to get up every Sunday and say, you know, you need to stop lying and talking about people. I shouldn't have to get up and say, stop gossiping. I shouldn't have to say that, because you already ought to know that. That's why the Bible says, Jesus said, I got stuff I want to tell you, but you ain't ready. Paul says that, he said that there are some things that I want to tell you, he said, but you're too carnally minded for me to tell you, so I got to keep going back to the carnality and talking about that to try to get them thorns out of you so I can make good ground. The writer of Hebrews, whether it's Paul or Apollos, whoever, but the writer of Hebrews said that when you should be teachers, you need to be taught because you're not ready. What's happened to the church? What's happened to us that we are not ready? Nobody ought to ever have to tell you to keep your pants up and keep your dress down. That ought to be something you already know. And we waste good preaching time on this kind of stuff when we ought to be going further. We ought to be, the thorns ought to already be gone. There ought to be good soil for the word to be planted on. All right, lastly, good soil. I know y'all ready for somebody to say, I'm glad he got the good soil. Maybe you're not wayside soil. Maybe you're not stony soil. Maybe you're not thorny soil. Maybe you're good soil. And thank God for good soil. But he says, and in verse 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Look at this. And increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Then he said, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You got to be mature enough to understand and hear this. Because he said, good ground. He said it fell on good ground. And he said, and it yielded fruit and it sprang up and what? Increase. If your life does not increase, something's wrong with your ground. Something is wrong with your soil if your life has no increase. You cannot come to God and stay the same. You hear me? You cannot come to God and have the same stuff. I'm sorry. I know. Listen to me. I'm telling you. Because God is not a God that adds anyway. He's a God that multiplies. And you know what? God sometimes multiplies by dividing. Sometimes he adds by subtracting, but however he does it, he's a God that multiplies. And so there is no way that you can come to him and he let you stay how you are. That's how good our God is, that he will not allow you to stay like you are. He will not allow you to stay the same person you are. He's going to change that. He's going to give you a better attitude. He's going to give you a little bit more money. He's going to give you some more possessions because he said, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. And if you love somebody, you give to him. That's why he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We must understand that we have to come to God and he will increase us. He'll increase us. So good ground. He said it increased and it brought forth, and I'm getting to it now, forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. Notice the whole parable here lets us know that out of 100% of what the sower sowed, 3/4 of it didn't produce nothing. 3/4 of what? It's 4. 3/4 of it, 3 out of 4, didn't produce nothing. 1/4 produced. And out of the 1/4, only 1/3 of the 1/4 produced to the full potential. Look at that. Only. Now, so let's, if we look at this whole room, only a third of the people in here will get full increase in their life because of what they allow the word to do in them. Let me just say this. If there's a 30, 60, and 100-fold, God is saying that there, even though you got something, there's always more. Even though you got 30, that's more. Don't be satisfied with 30. Always look for more. If you got 60, say, God, I need more. If you had 100, maybe you think you got it all, but then God said, you know what? You just go to another level of more. Yeah. You go into the abundant level. So we got to understand here that there's 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, let's relate that to our lives. Let's relate that because the 30-fold is the, you know, when you look at those three things, right? Those three things, God does things. Some people say he does it in threes, you know.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana.